appreciate it. You can be turning in your Bibles to the book of John, John's Gospel, and chapter number 4. John's Gospel and chapter number 4 in the Word of God this morning. Well, I was talking to Brother Gray on the way in last night, and he said, I hope you got one morning for in the morning. I said, well, to be quite honest, I don't. And he said, well, what's it going to be, a rerun? And I said, well, I don't know. It may be a no run. But it's not a rerun. If it's any kind of a run, it'll either run or be a no run. But it's not a rerun. And trust it. It's a thought that I picked up. You're going to laugh when I tell you where I got it from. But this scripture certainly came to my heart when I saw it. And so I want to try to preach on it this morning. John's Gospel and chapter number 4, and I want to begin reading in verse number 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto the woman, unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah is coming, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Now may the Lord add his blessings to that. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the morning hour, the privilege we have to be here. I pray you'll bless the preaching of thy word. May hearts be moved and stirred today. Touch us, I pray, for revival. Bless those that are sick, those that are amongst us, Lord, with infirmities or afflictions or sicknesses. I pray for them. Those that are troubled and being tried, I pray for them. Those that are broken in heart and grieved in spirit, may you bless and comfort and lift them up. I do thank you, Lord, for the work that's been done on the building and so far and the help that we've received. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Bless us now in these next moments. May souls be saved, and Lord, may your precious name be glorified. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Brother Gray, would you turn those ceiling fans on back there, please? I mentioned a little while ago that Brother Gray asked me on the phone, as I spoke with him on the way home, that if I had something burning in my heart, and the answer was a truthful answer, when I told him no. And he said, will it be a rerun? And I said, well, it may be a no run. And it may very well turn out to be a no run. But it's not a rerun, I'll assure you that. I may not preach 10 minutes, but what I say is what God's given me to say. Amen. For this hour this morning. And I'm going to do my best to say it. Now, I'm going to tell you where I got the thought. Please don't laugh about it. I've kind of made statements along this line before, contrary to it. It did bring this scripture to my mind. But as Brother Doug and I drove up the highway yesterday, he drove and I was riding, we passed this drilling rig, and it had written on the boom of that truck, got a whale. Got a whale. And the thought struck me as I looked at that truck, have you got a whale? And I could ask you that this morning, do you have a whale? I want to say that I'm glad, thank God, that this woman found a whale. She had a whale. And I'm glad that I've got a whale this morning.
Yes,
a whale of springing water, springing up unto everlasting life. And that well of water came from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm glad this morning I got a whale. And I want to say, if you don't have a whale, you're in bad shape. If you're not drinking from that well of water of everlasting life, you're lost and doomed and damned and on your way to a Christless eternity. But I'm going to tell you, there's nothing like well water. Most folks today know nothing about well water. They drank from the tap so long, they go to the faucet and they turn the faucet on, and that's the only thing they know about water. When I was a boy growing up, we had a well. And I know a little bit about drinking from well water. And some well water is much, much better than others. There's sweet water. And that's the best kind to drink from. But back home, they also sometimes they'd drill and hit what we call sulfur water. It just smelled like old rotten eggs. And I'm telling you, it wasn't fit for human consumption. But my cousin drilled four wells on his property, and every time he drilled, that's all he ever found was sulfur water. And so he had to be satisfied with that water. Well, I don't know if I'd have been too satisfied with it. It had an odor. If you know what I'm talking about, it had an odor. That was almost intolerable. But nonetheless, he had a well. And back in my days, if you wanted drinking water, you had to dig a well. We knew nothing about city water, but thank God we also didn't know anything about water bills. The Lord was the one that furnished our water, and he didn't charge us a thing for it. It just come out of the sky and run down into the well and collected there, and that's what we drank from. And it didn't cost us anything. And I want to thank God for it. But you know, here in our text this morning, I want to mention a few things about it. And honestly, I will not be long, but I want to mention a few things about it. The Bible said there that the Lord, the Pharisees heard how that Jesus had made and was baptizing more converts than John. Although it says Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. And it said he left Judea and departed again, and he departed into Galilee. And the next verse said he must needs go through Samaria. Now, if you get a hold of that, he must needs go. That meant he had to go through Samaria. There was no question about that. And there's no accidents with the Lord. He didn't go through Samaria by accident. He went there by sovereign design and by God's purpose and plan. There was a little woman there that needed help from the Lord. And don't you ever think the Lord didn't know that. There's nothing ever escaped the mind of God. And he is omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. He knows all things. And he knew exactly where he was going. But the Bible said he must needs go through there. That leads the idea that he had to go there. Now, probably that land was between where he was at and where he was going. And he had to cross to it. He must needs go through there. But nevertheless, he knew that that little woman would be there. And when he came to the city of Sychar, there where the parcel of land was at that belonged to Jacob, who gave it to his son Joseph. There was a well there. That well was called Jacob's Well. And I marvel at that because it was in Samaria. It wasn't in Judea, but it was in Samaria. And I won't say this. I want you to listen carefully to what I'm getting ready to tell you. I preach this. I've heard other preachers preach this. That the Samaritans were half-breeds. Well, you know, I've looked through the Bible for that. And I've really not been able to find that to be a truth in the Word of God. I'm going to tell you what the Samaritans were. They were the 10 tribes of Israel. 10 tribes called Israel. The other two tribes was Judah and Benjamin. And they dwelt in the city of Jerusalem in the land of Judea. But the other tribes was Samaria. And the reason there was no dealings with them is because between Jeroboam and Rehoboam, they became at odds with one another. And those Jews would have no dealings at all with those northern tribes after a certain period of time. But as he got there, he found this woman of Samaria. He's sitting on a well and she comes to draw water. And their conversation begins. The Lord asked her for a drink. And her reply was, well, what would a Jew ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink of water for? Because the Jews have no dealings at all with the Samaritans. And the Lord's response to her was, if you knew it was that spoke with you, you would ask of him and he'd give you living water. And you know the rest of the story. The Lord tells her about that well. And about whosoever drinketh of that water will thirst again. But the water that he has is a well of water springing up unto everlasting life that you can drink and never thirst again. And so this woman, you know, the Lord begins to deal with her about her sin. He sees in her something, a desire. She's got a desire to hear more. And he calls her to go get her husband. And she answered directly. She said, Lord, I have no husband. In fact, she was living in adultery. This woman was a sinful woman. But I marvel at the grace of God. He came into the world to save sinners. This woman had had 5 husbands and was shacking up. And yet the Lord showed her mercy by his marvelous grace and led her to that well of water that brought everlasting life, and gave her that drink that delighted her soul so much that she left her water pots where they were and ran back into the city and began to proclaim his name and a man that told her all things that ever she did.
Right.
And she asked those men of the city, said, is this not the Messiah? You know, Jesus had already told her. Him, she had asked, she said, I know when Messiah cometh that he'll restore all things. And I don't find anywhere else, I don't think in the Bible that Jesus makes it this clearly. But he said, he that thou speakest with is he. He told her in no uncertain terms, I'm Christ. I am the Lord. I am Almighty God.
Right.
In fact, he said, I'm the one that gave Jacob this well that Jacob gave to Joseph that went on down through Joseph's children and on down through time, and they're still drinking out of it. We're still drinking out of it up until this day. And so he had already told her that he was the Messiah. But what about this well? He told her, said, the water that you drink out of this well, said, you'll thirst again. But he said, I've got a water, that is, I've got a well, personally, I've got a well, that you drink of, that you'll never thirst again. And I just jotted down a few things about this well that I want to share with you this morning. I want to say, first of all, according to verse number 10, and let's read that, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. I want to say, first of all, that that well was a life-giving well. I'm glad, thank God, that there is a life-giving well today. And that well is not just in a liquid that we drink, but that well of living water is in a person. And that person's name is Jesus. I'm glad, thank God, that Jesus is a life-giver today. He came into this world and was born of a virgin, lived 33 and a half years, walked up Calvary's mountain and there laid his life down and gave it a ransom for our sins. And in him is life, and that life is the light of men. He is the life giver. Now I'm glad this morning I can say I've got a well that I can drink from. That well has given me eternal and everlasting life. I'm not worried about death today. I've got a place reserved for me in heaven itself. That's probably not at the right hand of the throne of God. That's reserved for Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, anywhere in heaven will be all right with me. And it won't be a corner in the cabin of glory land, I'll assure you that. Because Jesus himself said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm got a mansion that I'm going to one of these days. And it's all because there came a day that I walked up Calvary's Hill and there met the man that is the life giver. Notice I didn't say he was a life giver. He never lived in the past tense. He always in the present tense. He is the life giver. And just like he was the well that gave life to that little girl, that little harlot here in John 4, he's the same life giver today. And I'll tell you, he will give that life to anybody that will truly come unto him and repent of their sins and call upon his precious name. He'll deliver them by the grace of God. And I'm going to tell you, if you ever get a drink of the water that I've got, friend, I'm going to tell you what, it'll do something for you down in your heart and soul. Amen. It'll put some joy in your heart and a spring in your step. And you'll know that you've come in contact with somebody that is the life giver. And I could go over this numbers of times where he gave life. Now think of one that was sick, a man that Jesus loved by the name of Lazarus. And his sister sent for him. And when he came, Martha said, Master, if you'd have been here, our brother had not died. And his reply was, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, shall live, and he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now I will say that that well that he's referring to there is a life-giving well. Jesus is our life-giver. It's not in works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. He has saved us. And that's right, and he is that living water. My question to you this morning, have you ever got a good drink of it? Have you ever got a good dose of old-time salvation? You'd be amazed at what a good dose of old-time salvation will do for people. I tell you, it'll turn your life around and give you something in your heart that you've never had before. It's a thing called peace and a thing called joy and a thing called happiness. I'm as happy this morning as what I'd be as a hog rooting in slop on the lower end of the trough, friend, because I've been to Calvary and been redeemed by the grace of God. Now, I got one drink of that well. By the way, you don't have to drink a whole lot out of that well. You don't have to go back to Calvary and get saved again and again and again. I'm not an Armenian, praise God, I'm a Baptist. One drink of that living water is all it takes. One trip up Calvary's Hill is all it takes. One trip up that pathway that leads to the cross is all it takes.
And I'll tell you, you come in contact with the Son of God and get one drink of that living water, it will give you life, and not only life, but it'll give you life more abundantly, friend. I'm telling you, there's a life to live that most of us know nothing about. That is a life of overflowing, a life full of joy and happiness. It's not always gloom and doom and this sort of thing if we're saved by the grace of God. And so that well is a life-giving well. I won't say secondly that it's a life-changing well. It'll change your life. Brother Jesus rearranged my whole life. Just like I told him, said this morning, like these men, this old building and concrete, they've torn all that up. And I'm going to tell you, when we go to building, they're going to rearrange the look of this entire building.
Right.
Now I'm telling you, that's what Jesus done for you and I. He tore our life all to pieces. He tore our heart all to pieces. And he rearranged it the way he wanted it to be and give us a brand new life.
Right.
Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have been made new. I'm going to tell you, I don't visit the honky-tonks anymore. I don't visit the dance halls anymore. I don't drink liquor anymore. I don't even smoke cigarettes anymore. Amen. You know why? My life has been changed. God will rearrange a man's life. That well that little woman went to, not only give her life, it not only give her life, but it changed her life. When she went back into that city, Jesus said, hey, said, you go get your husband. She said, I don't have one.
Right.
She said, you've said right. Said, you've had five husbands, and the one you're with, living with, is not your husband now. And they talked about where they would worship, Jerusalem. And the Lord said, there's coming a time when you'll not worship in Jerusalem nor here, but you'll worship God in spirit and in truth. And that woman went running into that town and told all those men, said, hey, come see a man that told me all things ever I did. Is this not the Messiah? Brother, I'm telling you, Lord changed that woman's life. She went from a harlot to a witness. She went from a sinner to a saved lady. She went, pardon the expression, from a tramp on the street to a lady singing in the choir. Amen. She went from a woman the attire of a harlot to the attire of a born-again child of God. Amen. Dressed right, looking right, painted up right, not caked up, but maybe made up, but not caked up, sitting in the choir, singing for the glory of God, telling people in song and in witness what had happened to her when she met that man at Jacob's well that day that gave her a drink of water that did not come out of that well. Amen. It did not come out of that well. I'm going to tell you where it came from. It came out of the very heart of Jesus, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, and it was the words that he spoke to her, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That woman was born again by what she heard come from the lips of the darling Son of God. And if you're saved, that's exactly how you've been born again also.
Amen.
Brother, aren't you glad he's got a heart for sinners?
Yes,
that's right. That well is a life-giving well. That well is a life-changing well. Then I want to say, let's read verse number 12. He said, she asked the question, said, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself, said, and his children and his cattle. I will say thirdly, that well, it's been used by many people.
Man.
Brother, I'm not worried. I'm not the first one that got saved.
Right.
You're not the first one to drink that living water.
Amen.
But there's been a whole lot of people that went to that well and got what you and I have got today. Sometimes we get the idea we're in this battle all alone. We're not in this battle all alone. There's more folks around saved than just what little handful is here, thank God. That well, and by the way, it's been used a long time. Amen. That well had been around a long time. In fact, the well I'm talking about was here before the foundation of the world. The Lord put that well here long before the foundation of the world. Now, I'm not talking about particularly Jacob's well, but I am talking about that well that has that living water.
Yeah.
Hey, it wasn't the water in that well he was talking about at all.
Right.
Amen. They're talking about the water of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen. It's just like Brother Gray said in Sunday school, we need to get our nose in that book because that book is the water of the Word of God. And you can be washed and cleansed by the washing of the water of the Word of God. And by the way, that Word of God is also an incorruptible seed being born again, not of corruptible seed, but by the incorruptible Word of God. I'm telling you, that Bible is that living water that our Lord was referring to in John chapter number 4. Amen. That's right. And there have been many people been there. Long time before you and I were. Peter, James, and John drank out of that well. John the Baptist drank out of that well. Amen. Mary and Martha drank out of that well. Anna drank out of that well. A lot of others. Cornelius drank out of that well. There's a lot of them drank out of that well. Paul drank out of that well. But I'm going to tell you something else. This is back in Jacob's day. Jacob drank out of that well. Joseph's boys drank out of that well. There's a whole lot of God's people back those days drank water out of that well. And get a hold of what I'm saying. That well has been drank out of for years and years and years. And guess what? It has never been depleted. There's just as much water in that well today as there was in the day that they drank out of it. That tells me that it must be springing up at a great depth. Hallelujah. That water reaches a long way down. You never go to the bottom of it. That little old woman said, hey, said this well is deep and you don't have anything to draw with. How are you going to get water out of this well? Now, can I give you something the Lord gave me just this morning about that? When she said this well is deep, you don't have anything to draw with. She's literally saying it's a long way down to the water. But the further meaning of it is, once you get to the water, it's a long way on down before you'll ever find the bottom of it. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes you've got to drop your bucket in that well if you're going to draw water out of it. Amen. You've got to put your bucket in the well. In other words, you have to put your faith and your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot meet Jesus if you don't drop your bucket in His well, you're going to walk away from Him like that rich young ruler, lost and without God, undone, and still on your way to hell. And I'm telling you, if you drop your bucket in His well and drink of His water, He'll give you life and give it to you more abundantly. Some of y'all sitting in here this morning look like dried up. What's the matter with y'all? Did I say something y'all didn't like today? Did I say something kind of turned you off a little bit? Did I make you unhappy? Well, I got news, y'all. If I rub the fur the wrong way, I'll rub it the other way and lay it back down. Amen. If I rubbed her one way and made you feel bad, I'll rub her another way and make you feel good again.
Right.
Amen. Yeah. If I rub it both ways, you're still mad, you stay mad.
Right.
Amen. Right. You can say amen or oh me. But I'm here to tell you one thing. As long as my name's out there on that sign,
yeah,
I'm still the pastor around here.
Yeah.
And I'm still going to say what I want to say from this pulpit until I'm not the pastor around here anymore. Amen. Amen. So don't get upset with me about anything I'm saying unless it's unbiblical. If it's not scriptural, then you can get upset. Come see me and talk to me about it. But I'm telling you right now, that there's many people that have drank out of that well and been satisfied and well satisfied just like you and I are today. But there ain't too many people in here looks like you're too well satisfied. God help us. Oh, Lord, may God help us. We act like we're lost and still, we act like our mother-in-law's moved in, they're never moving out. Some of you look like you've been sucking on an alum bag or a lemon or something of that nature. Lord, we'll put a little smile on our face if we can. Brother, we've been to Calvary and been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Our sins are gone. What sins are you talking about? They've not only been taken away, they've been not only put away, they've been taken away. And when Jesus took them away, He said He forgot where He put them. For your sins and your iniquities will He remember no more. He doesn't even know where they're at. When the devil comes knocking on your door or on the Lord's door and trying to accuse you to the Lord, He just simply tells the devil, I don't know where His sins are. I put them away one day and forgot where I put them.
Amen.
Now you say that God can't forget anything. He forgot where your sins is at.
Yep.
He said, your sins and your iniquities will I remember no more.
Amen.
How wonderful. Thank God.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, that ought to make a dead Baptist get happy.
Yes.
To think that you're not living under the condemnation of death,
Not under the condemnation of the law. Oh no, but we're living under the grace of God. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And He is the way, the truth, and what? What did I say that first point was? And the life. And no man's coming to the Father but by Him. Thank God. Thank God for that well. Hallelujah. Then I won't say, is it thirdly or fourthly? I think it's thirdly I won't say. That not only is it a life-giving well and a life-changing well and it's been used by many people, but read verse number 11. And I've already mentioned this a little bit. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? May I say that that well I'm referring to this morning provided an inexhaustible supply. You'll never run it dry. You'll never deplete the grace of God. We live like God's grace is forever gone. We live like God's power is forever gone. I'm going to tell you something. Churches are in a sad state of affair today. If there was ever a time when we need revival, it's right now, neighbor. We need a stirring of God. Brother Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, I think it meet to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. I want you to remember this morning where you was when God found you. You wasn't in a well. You was in the muck of the hog pen. You wasn't in a well. You wasn't at the well. You was in the filth and the nasty of this world. You wasn't sitting on that well drinking that water. You was out in the world, lost and undone and without God. You were guilty. You were condemned. You were going to hell. But your mediator came between you and God, took your hand on the cross while He was on the cross, took God in the other hand, and reconciled you unto God, and washed all your sins away. I'm going to say, we just remember what we were, where we was when God found us, and what we are now, and where we're going to. It would help us in our Christian life greatly. I think that's one of the saddest things in our Christian life. We don't remember where we were and what God done for us. How He lifted us out. How sinful we was and ungodly we were. And then we don't remember the joy that we had at that particular time. Come on in the house. Remember when you first got saved? How happy you was. I'm going to tell you, when we was out there in them woods the other day, Brother McGuire, and I don't know how to do them things. I couldn't answer him back. But my phone, and it just vibrated. And I said, well, who's calling me out here? And I picked it up and it said a text from Ryan McGuire. And I couldn't text him back. I don't have it. But he sent a picture to me. And punched it on, there was a little old spike laying right under him. And I thought, boy, what he bragging? I thought, and it looked like a doe. I said, he's bragging about that? And so I just shut off, put it in my pocket. A little bit later, I hear, boom! And I said, praise God, he's done got another one. And I'm sitting there in that blind, and I'm just about ready, about 9 o'clock, and I'm about ready to start zipping up the blind. And I look out the left-hand corner, and there comes Brother McGraw there. And oh, the expression on his face. I mean, there was a smile on his face from ear to ear. And he knelt down on his knees, and he said, I believe I got a bad one. He said, I don't know if he's dead or not. He said, can I borrow your pistol in case he's not? I said, sure, I'll go with you. And I handed him a pistol out the window, and I crawled out that little crawl space, and we went down there. He eased down through them woods, and all at once he stopped me. He said, there he lays. He took a couple more steps, and he went, oh, no. Oh, Lord. Oh, and he went, woo! 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 Woo, Lord! I'm telling you, had an 18-point back on the ground, and God happy about it. Now, I'm going to tell you, we come to the house of God, and we've been pulled out of sin by the marvelous grace of our Lord, and we can't seem to get excited about being saved, but a man can get more excited about killing a deer and what we can about being saved, born again by the grace of God. I'm telling you, if there's a happy bone in your body, it ought to be tickled this morning knowing that your sins are under the blood of the cross of Calvary. You've been born again. You're heaven down with a hammer down, and the devil can't do a thing about it. Amen.
Not one thing can he do about it. Amen. Praise God. Going to glory. That's God. Whoop. Amen. I don't know who said that, but I'll say it. Hallelujah. He got happy over that thing. Now, that's, and it's inexhaustible. You're not going to exhaust the grace of God. There's just as much there as there's ever been. That well is just as full today that it was when John wrote this text. Just as full today as it was when that little old woman from Sychar went down there, not going down there to draw water out of one well that she had drank and thirst again. Not knowing that she had met a man that had some sweeter water. That she had one drink of that water, she had never, ever thirst ever again. Never realized that was going to happen. It's like many of you. It's especially, I could tell you, it's like me. That Sunday morning I got saved, I went up the highway cursing. I told my wife, I said, this is for sissies and old women. And I said, I don't want nothing to do with it. I said, well, I said, I'm a man. I ain't got nothing to do with that stuff. Religion? I said, I'm a combat war veteran. I said, I'm a man. That stuff is for sissies and little boys and little girls and old men and women. I didn't go looking for him. Some of you in here this morning didn't go looking for him.
Amen.
But something brought you to the house of God.
Amen.
And I'm just talking about remembering. We need to look back and remember. We might get a hold of some things of what it was that brought us to the house of God. And it wasn't just somebody. It was really somebody. It was the Holy Ghost of God that brought you to the house of God to introduce you to a man that could wash away all your sins. Amen. That's right. Now somebody tell me where I was at. I was talking about not knowing. Hey, I didn't go there looking for God. I'm going to tell you on that third stanza of just as I am without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. I'm telling you, I'd been trembling and quivering and shaking all over. And I stand there holding Tammy in my arms. And I started shaking, them tears began to run down my face. And I heard something in my heart say, you don't want to die and go to hell, do you? And I said, no, sir. And he said, you believe in the Lord Jesus? I said, Lord, I believed in Jesus all my life. And I had. You never convinced me when I was a little boy there wasn't a Jesus. But that ain't the kind of belief he's talking about. He's talking about a greater belief than that. He's not just talking about Jesus as a figment of your imagination or a biblical figure in the Bible. He's talking about Jesus as Lord, as being the sovereign God of the universe. He's talking about Jesus as being the one that went up Calvary's hill and your sins was laid upon him. In fact, in his body, he bore our sins on Calvary's tree. Bless his holy name, thank God, for what he done for you and I. I've never gotten over it, don't want to get over it, and I hope you can get back to the point where you don't want to get over it. Amen, that's right. Thank God, I'm afraid we've gotten over it. But where he brought us from, what he's done for us, you're not going to exhaust him. He's got more than you'll ever need. Sometimes you think it takes a whole lot. Like Dr. Sotler said that morning in Newport, Tennessee, when he's sitting at McDonald's and sulking because the cold, dreary winter day. He wanted to be home. He wanted to be in Greenville. He wanted to be with his people. He's up there preaching a revival meeting. He went down to McDonald's to get a little old burger of some kind. He said, I was feeling so homesick and lonely that I wanted to die. I said, I wanted to get in a car right then and head back to Greenville. And said I was just having one of them pity parties. Said a man walked in that restaurant at McDonald's and bought something, one of the burgers from the lady, and said he walked outside and opened that thing up and said he opened it up and just threw it down on the ground and walked off. He said, I could see the warm steam rolling up off of that bread and off of that meat. He said, it wasn't long till a little sparrow lit on that bread. Began to bury its little beak down in that bread and eat from that bread. Said it wasn't long till there's another little sparrow and another little sparrow and another little sparrow and another little sparrow. And he said, all at once said the Holy Ghost said to me, he said, Harold, what's wrong with you? He said, see them little sparrows out there eating, putting their beaks in that warm bread and that warm meat? He said, if I can take care of those little sparrows, if I care for them enough to take care of them,
amen,
don't you think that I love you enough to take care of you as well?
Amen.
What are you doing mollygrubbing? You've got no right to be a mollygrubbing on me. You were lost and going to hell when I found you. You were dead in trespasses and sins, but I have quickened you together with Christ and made you set together with Christ in heavenly places. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not a matter that we're going to sit with Him someday. According to the book of Ephesians, we're already seated with Him in heavenly places in Christ. Can you get a hold of that? We're just the same as there. We're as good as there. We're not going to be lost again. Thank you. I don't care what the Pentecostals say. I don't care what the Methodists say. They can call me whatever they want. I don't believe in being a man get saved and just sin like a devil and go to heaven. If he didn't do that, he never got anything. But I'm going to tell you, if you get that drink of that living water, like that little old harlot got, honey, you're going. By the grace of God, you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Think about that a little while. God's greatest, the greatest that God has, He's got for you. And the greatest that He has, He's already given to you. And He's given you Jesus, that well of living water. I want you to hear what I'm getting ready to say. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And everything that belongs to God belongs to Christ. And everything that belongs to Christ belongs to you and I. Hallelujah. Oh, we're heirs of all the majestic glory that heaven has to behold for us this morning. What a great God. I bless His wonderful name. Now I want to say also, that this well, sprang up from the heart of the earth. She said, this well is deep. This well is deep, she said. You don't even have a rope to draw by. It came way up out of the heart of the earth. Can I ask you a question? Where did Jesus come up from? He told that crowd in His day. He said, as Jonah spent 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so must the Son of Man do what? Spend 3 days and 3 nights where? In the heart of the earth.
Amen.
I never seen a well yet that went from heaven down. But I've seen a whole lot of them dug in the ground and come up.
Right.
Now Jesus is one that come down. And then He went into the ground. And then He come up out of the ground again. That songwriter said, living He loved me. Dying, He saved me.
Yes.
Rising, He justified. Freely forever.
Yes.
I can say to you today, I'm justified.
Yes.
Thank God I'm justified.
Yes.
I'm just like I never sinned. I'm justified
yes.
in Him.
Thank
Amen to God. Now I'm going to tell you, His life came out of the ground. I'm glad He got up. They couldn't keep Him down. About on the third morning, something began to take place in that tomb. The devil said, death, what's the problem? He said, I don't know. He seems to have seems to be getting warm again. No rigor mortis had ever set in. Said, rigor mortis, what's your problem? He said, rigor mortis said, I have no power to corrupt His body in any way.
Amen.
And He was sown, by the way. He was sown in incorruption. He was raised in incorruption.
Right.
You and I are going to be laid in corruption. We're corrupt.
That's right.
We're going to be raised in incorruption.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God. Amen. And you get a hold of that. Now I'm telling you that life came out of the very heart of the earth. That well, resurrection morning. Sunday morning, first day of the week. That's why we're here today.
Amen.
Jesus got up out of that grave. Somebody said, you say that all the time. Maybe one of these days you'll believe it.
Amen.
I don't get tired of telling that story.
Amen.
How can any man get tired?
telling the old story that Jesus died according to the Scriptures.
Yes.
Brother Troy was buried according to the Scriptures. And on the third day, according to the Scriptures,
yes,
he got up under his own power.
Yes.
And I don't believe in a spiritual resurrection. I'm telling you, body and all.
That's right.
Body and all. Body and all. Body and all.
Yes.
Came up out of that grave. And when Mary run down there and saw him, she said, thought he was a gardener, and said, sir, said, if you've borne him hence, tell me where he's at, and I'll go fetch him. And he said, Mary, Mary. And she said, Rabboni. Being interpreted, Master. I'm going to tell you, she may not have known him by sight, but brother, she heard that voice.
Yes,
sir. And my sheep hear my voice. And they know me and they follow me. Hey, it's in the voice. It's in the word, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
You remember when Jacob went in to Isaac? He said, you know something? He said, you smell like Isaac, Esau. And he said, you smell like Esau. But said, you sound like Jacob. You know what he did? He went on his feelings rather than his faith. And gave the blessing to Jacob. God had it planned that way. And I'm here to tell you, we're not saved by our feelings, folks. If I was saved by feelings, I'd be lost about 99% of the time. Now, I very seldom feel good anymore, but I'm not saved on my feelings. I'm saved by faith.
That's right.
When that little woman left that well, she hollered to those men, come see a man! Told me every idea it wasn't feelings. I don't know if he ever touched her. Doesn't say that he did. But it was by faith when he said, he that speaketh with you am he. Oh, that got her. That got her. And I'm going to say she had to know something was different about that man because he was a Jew and no Jews had any dealings with the Samaritans. But I'm telling you how she found out that day. I was just about to kick this table over. She found out that Jesus is no respecter of persons. Brother, he doesn't care if you're red, yellow, black, or white, who you are. He'll save you by his marvelous grace if you'll let him. Yes, sir. He did. Now, may I say, I'm about to get done. May I say, number five, it was a well that could quench a man's thirst. And it says so in verse number 5, I believe. Oh, I'm wrong. Must be verse number 14, I'm sorry. Verse number 14. Whosoever drinketh of this water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up to everlasting life. Now, whosoever drinketh of the water that I give him shall never thirst. Now, I want to show you something. Why was that little woman coming to the well? She was thirsty. She came to that well to get a drink of water and carry it back in her water pots because she was thirsty. She needed water to drink. But the Lord told her, I've got a water that you'll drink that you'll never thirst again. Now, I had to think on that for a little while. And you know, I've heard, and I've preached it myself, never thirst again. If you get saved, you never have to thirst for the Lord again. I've got news for you. I get thirsty every day for him. David stayed thirsty for him. David was hungry for him. And I'm going to tell you what he's talking about when he said, you drink of the water I've got, you'll never thirst again. She come there thirsting after the things of this world. She was thirsty for sin. The Lord said, you drink this water, you'll never thirst again. I'll guarantee you on that. what I've got will satisfy you, and you'll never long for that sin, especially that sin of adultery that you're living in. You will never thirst for it ever again. Boy, and I'm telling you, isn't that the truth? I'm telling you, God, when God saves an individual, He changes them from top to bottom, gives them a new heart. Hey, amen.
Amen.
Old things are passed away and all things are become new.
Amen.
Oh, somebody said, we still got the flesh. I understand that. I understand that. But I'm going to tell you what. You don't thirst for sin. Your flesh is sinful, but I'll guarantee you down on the inside, there's something on the inside of you saying, you don't thirst for sin.
Amen.
You may be tempted to sin, but you don't thirst and hunger for it.
Right, right.
You're thirsting and hungering for Jesus.
Yes, sir.
She got one drink of that water he had, and I'm going to tell you, she wanted more, friend. She never thirsted again for the world and for sin. And I'm going to tell you what. She sure did hunger after Christ. And that Bible says, whosoever, he that hungereth after righteousness shall be filled. Number 10, Psalm 63, it talks about that barren land and that dry land where no water is. And that man thirsting after that water in a barren, in a dry land. I'm going to tell you, we're living in a dry land today, and every one of us in here ought to be thirsting for another drink of that well. It'd do more for us to get one more drink. Somebody said, preacher, we've already been to Calvary. We don't need another drink. Oh, we don't need to get saved again. Oh, you're right. But it don't hurt to get recapped every now and then.
Right.
You'll catch that after a while. I like to go back.
Amen.
I like to go back, Josh, to Calvary. I don't ever want to lose sight of it.
Right.
I don't want to ever lose sight of the darling Son of God as He hanged there on the cross,
yes,
humbling Himself, becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, hanging there with a crown of thorns on His brow that He might wear a crown of gold later, hanging there on the cross, bearing your sins and my sins, hanging there on the cross, suffering in anguish and pain, being mocked and spit upon, laughed at and shunned and cursed and spoken of in a vile and a wretched way. But in every one time when he was reviled, he did not revile again. He did not open his mouth. But like a lamb dumb, he opened not his mouth. Never one time did he ever rebuke him. You know why? He said, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I've come to do thy will, O God.
Amen.
And it was God's will for his son to die for you and I. Oh, if we could only get a hold of that today. I'll preach it as long as I live, every time I preach, that it was God's will for him to die for you and I.
Amen.
What a price he paid.
Amen.
To deliver you and my old nasty soul from the depths of sin. I can say hallelujah on that. I don't know about you, but I can.
Amen.
Amen and amen. That's right. Now, it was a well that could quench a man's thirst. This well was accessible to everybody. As far as I know, anybody that wanted to go there and drink could.
Right.
It wasn't hidden. As far as I know, they didn't pile brush around it and hide it. Try to keep people from seeing it. It was visible to all and accessible to all that went by that could get a drink of that water out of that well. Now, I want to say to you that the seven cities of refuge that God gave in the Old Testament were all accessible. They were all put in a place that could be recognized and noticed, that the killer of man, the man that shed blood, could run there and find a refuge. Now, I want to say to you today that Calvary is a place that was not hid. What Jesus done over 2,000 years ago was not done in secret.
That's right.
But I'm telling you, he walked up on Calvary's hill, buddy, and go look at it. The place of the skull. It can be seen all over Jerusalem. It was there that they lifted him up between heaven and earth. And he died on that tree in a place that was accessible to all. It's not hidden. It's not hidden. Oh, come, O sinner, today. Come to Jesus today. And be ye born again. heed his warnings, for death will surely come. But if you listen to his beck and call, life will spring up in you. Amen. And you too can rejoice in what God has done for you. I won't say also, this well caused her to forget her past. Some of you in here let your past destroy you. What you have done in your past life is a plague to you. It's just over and over in your mind constantly. I've done this or I've done that. I've done this or I've done that. I've done this or I've done that. You know what she done? I'm going to tell you why I know she forgot it. She set her water pots down. She forgot all about that well. The well she went to get some water out of, when she got to drink that other well, she didn't go back. She set them water pots down. She forgot all about that well, Jacob's well. Jacob's well had some good water in it. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus' well had a whole lot better water. Amen right there. She set those water pots down and went running into that city and telling those men. And many believed. They went out and saw Jesus, and Jesus spoke to them. They said, "Now! Not because of what you said, but we've heard him with our own ears. And we believe him, not because of what you said, but what he said." And I'm telling you, it was on that day that the city of Sychar in Samaria, amen, the northern kingdom, they had revival that day. I don't know how many got saved in that city, but I'm going to tell you, a whole lot of them did. According to what I read in the Word of God, a whole lot, especially the men. Oh,
amen.
The men. They laid aside their adulterous ways and got born again by the grace of God. And they had revival in Samaria, ladies and gentlemen. What a meeting they had. I'm going to tell you, we can have a meeting too if we want it. God give us great and mighty things that we know not of. Just one drink of that water, I'll tell you, do great things for us. Got a well this morning? Have you really got a well? I'm not talking about drinking from a glass. This is good. I'm not talking about drinking from a bottle. I'm not even talking about drinking from a bottle of spring water. I'm talking about drinking from a well of springing water. For it shall be in you a well of springing water. Spring it up unto everlasting life. When I was in the hospital, went to the hospital in August, they took me in that emergency room. No, I believe it was the time before that. It was the time before that. This nurse come in, she tried to draw blood out of my hand in this side, and she couldn't. I said, "Ma'am, you're not hurting me. Just go on and get it." She said, "No," I said, "I've stuck you three times," and said, "They say after three times, we can't stick you anymore. We've got to get somebody else." This young boy come in there, and I said, "Uh-oh." Son, he rubbed it real hard and rolled out that big needle. I'm going to tell you, he didn't pussyfoot around. It was almost like he fell on me. Brother, when that needle went in, that blood said, he hollered after them nurses and said, I've hit a geyser. That blood squirted plumb out over on the floor and against the wall on the other side of me. And I'm going to, that's right. They got it stopped. But I'm going to tell you, when that well of living water begins to spring up in me, don't quench the Holy Ghost and quench that water.
Amen.
Let her spring up, friend. I've heard Brother Hanley Milby say a number of times, "Spring up, oh well. Spring up, oh well." Don't let God, don't let the devil quench the Holy Ghost in your life, or grieve the Holy Ghost in your life, or quench God in the house of God. Let that well spring up. Let her spring up.
Amen.
Get another good drink and you'll be ready to go another couple of miles for the Lord. I guarantee you his water will keep you walking right on down the line.
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you one more time this morning. Got a well?
Amen.
That little woman. Yeah, I just thought of that. And I've got to say, I know it's getting late, but I got to say that. That was a well that the whole city drank out of. But that morning, she got her own personal well.
Amen.
Nobody could drink out of her well but her. God gave her a well that she could drink from personally, that she didn't have to go there to get it. You got a well this morning, you. You got a well? I hope so. Let's stand together.